Oh, I thought this was, what's her name that wrote this, but this is Mrs. June Hawks Goins. I don't know if she's alive or passed away. You ever heard of her, Joy? Who? We know who, don't we? So we'll sing about who. He's our Savior. Page 270. 270. Who flung the stars out into space and holds them in their proper place? Who, like a curtain, stretched the sky to make a place for birds to fly? Who sends the wind and sun and rain to flourish fields of golden grain? Who forms the sea that makes the wind and gives us daily bread to eat? Let's hold up a second. These kids need to know these verses too. Page 270, Annie and Chaney, y'all turn there. Y'all know how to read now. We're going to find out who does all these things for us. Who? Page 270. Okay, let's go on. Verse 2. Who in the winter sends the snow? Oh, tell me who, if you should know. Who has designed each lovely trait? Who wondrous fire did it take? Who is the never-ending sea? Who forms the grass, the vine, the tree? Who made the cattle on the hills and creeping things and rocks and hills? Who holds all things within his hands? Who owns all houses, fields, and land? Who keeps our soul each passing hour? No man has this almighty power. It is the Lord, and He alone, and has no glory of His own. We have no goodness we can claim, so let us publish His great name. Ain't that good? On the last. He takes a sinner, vain and wild, and makes him as a little child. Subdues his will and guides his feet and draws him through the mercy seat. Let all creation lift its voice, and in the Lord let us rejoice. Let all his works praise and confess the glory of His righteousness. Before we have prayer, I'd like to again address all our young people. I hope the adults realize there's no such thing as Mother Nature. You hear it on TV, you hear it from your school teachers, you hear it from your neighbor, from your uncle, from your, everybody. Mother Nature this, did that. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. God Himself controls all the weather. He brings the storm, the heat, the rain, and everything. Amen. Doesn't He?
Amen.
Brother Lucian, lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that You are in sovereign control. You said the very hairs on our heads are numbered, and that a sparrow couldn't fall out of the sky without You. But Father, we do know that You control all things. And even the evil that men have in their heart, You can so direct it in where You would have to go.
Amen.
And Your word clearly states that. So Father, we thank You that You are in sovereign control. We praise Your name. We praise You for sending Your Son into the world.
Amen.
Such as us.
Yep.
We pray, Father, that we would always present the gospel to lost sinners, Father. We would tell them of the Savior that came into the world to save sinners, but who all said He was the chief. And I think when conviction comes, we're all the chief. And so, Father, we pray for sinners tonight. We pray that we will witness to the lost about the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that's in Him. We ask that You watch over Brother Jerry as he travels, bring him back safely. And all the ones that have been on our prayer list, Father, we pray for them. And we pray for Brother Charlie tonight that You will enable him to open Your word and preach it.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
We thank you for convicting us of our sins and giving us repentance and faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray.
Amen.
So, Charlie, you want to come give some announcements and lead us in prayer or whatever you want to do?
Can you get that whole long list of people?
Well, you don't have to. Whatever you feel that is it.
Chris, can you please shut that door?
Okay. You want to lead us on the song?
Yes. That's Keith's job. But yes, remember the churches that are without pastors right now. Remember our church without a pastor. It's going to be without a pastor soon.
Yep.
We need to be praying. We need to be keep our eyes open, our ears open. And we need to be praying. Because if we don't watch out, we'll get comfortable. We'll get settled. And we'll just wait for things to take place and we'll be wrong. We need to be searching. We need to be looking. On the other hand, we need to be praying for all those churches who are out there who are looking for pastors, that they find the man, the pastor God calls to that place. They get him, and he may not be perfect in every way they're looking for. Maybe they learn to just trust God and take somebody, get somebody, and grow them up. We might have a man here, a young man, I don't know. Maybe God's fixed a deal with somebody. Who knows? On the other hand, keep our eyes open. Keep our ears open. We need to pray for Brother Jerry as he's coming back. Pray for Brother Wes and his wedding, that God would bless it greatly. Pray for a brother from Rihanna, Florida, that's got the cancer. Brother Shepherd. And be with him. And Lord, just be with us. Because right now, truly, right now, the devil would like to do nothing more than get every one of us at odds with every one of us. And maybe some of that might come out in sermon tonight. I don't know. But the thing is, we need to pray for each other. We need to love each other. And we need to understand that every one of us does not understand everything the same as each other. Some of you guys are smart. Some of us, not so smart. So, y'all may understand some things about some of this stuff that the theologians can get a hold of, but me, I got to keep it right down here on the bottom shelf. All I know is God's Word says do something, I do it. If it says don't do something, I try my best not to do it. You know, as I said, I try my best not to do it. So if we trust God, it's written in the Word. We don't have everything that took place. Like I said, when Jesus was here, not everything that's about Jesus is in the book. But everything that's in the book we need for salvation is in the book. That's the key thing. I'd rather be saved and miss a whole lot of stuff than have a whole lot of stuff and miss being saved. I'm about free. Y'all about free. See what you did? I was singing songs and having fun. Let's pray.
Precious Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for your mercies. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lord, that you have set, for a particular, a mission upon him, that he would come and save, Lord, the people that you gave him. And it was a joy counted to do that thing. And Lord, the account has been settled. Lord, your people have been reconciled, that there is no more penalty for your people, and that's hard to get a hold of, Lord. We still live in these natural bodies, and that's no excuse for sin, but we are sinners. And Lord, we stand in need of your grace every day. Lord, as Brother Charlie said, Lord, we do have a need, Lord, that our pastor has resigned, and it's just an unnatural thing for a group of sheep not to have an under shepherd. And Lord, let us not be heady or prideful, thinking that we know so much that we don't have need of a position that's created for your assembly. Lord, we need a pastor, and we would humbly submit to the man that you've given to us. Lord, please, as the brother said, let us be looking for that person, Lord, and knowing full well that you will provide what we need. Lord, we do ask that you do it. Brother Jerry, as he's traveling, Lord, we ask that you would be him with him, Lord, emotionally. He's still going through quite a bit. Lord, we ask that you would restore him. We ask that you would give him peace. And Lord, we ask that you would just, Lord, be kind to him, be a friend to him, Lord, at this time. And Lord, we all have special needs in particular that are upon our hearts. Lord, we have things, people, circumstances on the prayer list that have been presented. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that our greatest mission and our greatest desire would be that you would use us, Lord, as candles to shine your glory, Lord, that we would confess to others the saving grace of Jesus. And Lord, that you would use us in some small way, Lord, to bring glory and honor into your name. We ask, Lord, that you would just be with us as a people, that you forgive us of our sins, that you keep us until the time that you come for us. Lord, and we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to page 51. Page 51.
Is that a song you know?
I know it. So
it's we'll know it by the end, won't we?
Yeah, you know it. You'll know it when that's an old Fanny Crosby song. Savior, more than life to me, I am clinging close to thee. Let thy precious blood apply, keep me ever, ever near thy side. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy tender power. May thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to thee. Through this changing world below, gently as I go, trusting thee, I can not stray. I can never, never lose my way. Every day, every hour, let me feel thy tender power. May thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord. Let me run thee more and more, till this fleeting, fleeting life is o'er, till my soul is lost in love, in a brighter, brighter world above. Every day, every hour, let me feel my tempting power. At the bottom, I guess let's try number 7. See how we do. Number 7 at the bottom. Here we go. Thus may I rejoice to show that to Jesus, Jesus all I owe. Sing the tunes, his face I see, for my Savior, Savior first of me. Every day, every hour, let me feel my cleansing power. May thy tender love for me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to thee. Now you remember?
No.
No? All right. Good. Page 300. I know you know that one. Page 300.
You know, most people don't think the drums are okay, but that's one of those songs, that one and Crown Him with Many Crowns. I think any instrument you want to throw in there, the more the merrier, and that's one of them. I think it would just fit.
Which one are you talking about?
What?
What song are you talking about?
300.
Oh.
And Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Before the world began, God loved me then. He chose me for His own and an heir of crown. His rich eternal love will my name upon. Thank God He included me. Yes, He included me from eternity.
Chapter 17. And if you will, please use your paper Bible so I know you ain't playing with your video games and stuff like that, or taking pictures or anything like that. I hate for you to be distracted and miss one word of this, because I'm going to read you the Word of God out of the Word of God. And I'm going to start in Acts chapter 17, verse 16. It says, "Now while Paul waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him unto the Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine thereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there were spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, "To the unknown God." Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we believe, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also as your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead as likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by the art of man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whether he hath given him assurance, whereof he hath given him assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, 'We will hear thee again on this matter.' So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, an Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them." So we see Paul has left Thessalonica. He is now in Athens in Greece. And we know in Athens in Greece, they have Mars Hill. And on Mars Hill, they have every statue of every false god in the world. They're very superstitious. They have a god for your fingers not growing right. They have a god for your crops not growing right. They have a god for the rain. They have a god for the sun. They have a god for the moon. But they have another god that they have a plaque over here for, and it says, "To the unknown God." And Paul says, that's a good spot to start right there. But before he gets there, we see here that he says here that these people stood around talking and trying to find out everything. They tried to figure out everything up here. They spent all their day trying to come up with some new something. Sometimes when I read our Christian literature, and sometimes when I read our Christian commentators, I'm thinking, Sometimes I think they're up here trying to figure out some new thing just to see what to get people stirred up or what they could get going instead of just sticking with thus saith the Lord. It's good enough for me. So I'm sitting here. Paul says he went to Mars Hill. They took him on top of Mars Hill to the judgment seat there. And they says, we want to hear this strange thing that you've got to say. We want to hear about this Jesus and the resurrection. But before we get to the top of Mars Hill, I want you to go back to verse 15, 17. It says, let's go to 17. And he disputed. This is Paul now. Therefore disputed he in the synagogues of the Jews. First of all, when Paul got there to Athens, he went straight to the synagogue where the Jewish people were, where they had the Word of God, where they should have known the Word of God, and he went through the Scriptures and he pointed out Jesus Christ. He went to the Scriptures pointing out that Jesus Christ should die, that He should come, that He should be buried and should raise again on the third day. He reasoned with them. Though your sins be as scarlet, let us reason together. Let us discuss what could happen if you would change your mind. And I don't want to mess with y'all here, but I'm going to preach what it says right here. It says here that he went there and he broke out the Scriptures and he disputed. That could have got serious. They could have had some little friction going on. But it doesn't mean that he got in a fist fight. It means that he argued out the Scriptures. He beat out the Scriptures. He showed everywhere in the Old Testament where Christ was coming, where Christ was going to go, where He was born, where He was to walk, where He was to live, where He went, where He came from, and everything He was supposed to do. And He went to the Jews first. Everywhere you hear, He went to the Jews first. Then it says, after He went to the Jews, and with the devout persons. In other words, after He got out of the synagogue, He went down the main corridor where the devout folks was. And then He reasoned with them. And talk with them. About who? Jesus. About what? And the resurrection. A God who came and died for man and rose again that He might save His people. So He talked Jesus. Now this is the greatest person that wrote this book. And He talked to people about Jesus. Lost people. Now in the church house we could teach doctrines and things like that. But out on the street He preached Jesus and the resurrection. He preached, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. Come unto me, all you are thirsty. Buy from me without money. That's what He preached to those folks. It says here, and after He preached to those folks, and I like this, then He went to the marketplace. Now come on, guys, you hear what I'm trying to tell y'all here? First of all, He went to the big church on the hill. Preached Jesus. Then He went to the little church on the side. Preached Jesus. And then He went out in the streets where everybody else was. In the marketplace. See, in the market back then, you didn't buy groceries that come home and sit them on the shelf and stick them in the freezer and then stick them in the refrigerator. Back then, you had to go get your Whopper every day. Back then, you had to go get your filet of fish right there off the curb. So while He's walking down the street to the market to get His filet of fish, He's telling people about Jesus and the resurrection. He's talking about believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection, and thou shalt be saved. Ask for forgiveness of your sins and thou shalt be forgiven. He's going down there and He ain't worried about who He's talking to. He didn't, well, that guy's got a nice ring, I'll talk to him. No, He talked to everybody He passed. I don't know if He talked to everybody, but as He's going down the thing, probably some of them overheard the conversation. Because these big guys, when it's the philosophers and all, heard about what He had been teaching. Heard about what He had been preaching. So they said, hey, why don't you come up here to the judgment seat and we'll hear what you got to say. We've kind of been hearing all this crazy stuff you're talking about. So someone said, what will this babbler say? Well, I'm going to tell you what. When you go out on that street talk preaching Jesus, that's what they think about you. If you're preaching the truth of Jesus, you're a babbler. And you're going to make Christians, or so-called Christians, mad at you because they're going to say, you ain't got to try to save us, brother. We go to church every Sunday. Well, then why ain't you preaching Jesus out here then? Because we offend people who claim to be Christians. We put a burr under the saddle of those folks who claim to be something because they just want to ride the boat. They just want to be okay. They want to be all right. So when you come up and you preach Jesus to somebody who claims to be a Christian already, you're going to offend them because either they think you try to get them resaved, or you think they ain't saved at all. But if you're talking about Jesus and they're really saved, they ought to be able to go ahead. Boy, that's what I'm talking about. But instead, you offend them. I think religion is a private thing. We've done got that. The whole world's... Keep your religion in the church house, brother. It's a private thing. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Paul's religion, if I could say religion, Paul's religion was not private. He got stoned because he preached his religion out in the streets. They whooped him with rods 2 or 3 times because he praised, blessed God and praised God and talked about Jesus. Everywhere he went, he was persecuted because of Jesus. If your religion is supposed to be private, you ain't going to worry about no persecution. Just like James says, I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm going to get out here and tell somebody about something. I'm going to show you my works. I ain't working to be saved. I ain't doing nothing to get saved. But I'm working because I am saved. I'm doing things because I love my Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, give the world the message. Tell every... You got a frog on the street, that's all you got? Hey, Jesus is coming! Because he says, every creature. I read my book. It didn't just say peoples. If you ain't got nobody to preach to but nature, I'm talking about the virgin bees and stuff like that, now not mother. If you ain't got nothing but them, preach Jesus to them. Talk about the greatness of God. Man, my grass knows all about how great thou art. Every time I make a how great thou art, my grass, woo, you sing it, brother. Because if they could, they'd sing it too. The trees would shout. The birds are whistling and screaming. Everything is praising God except, I ain't going to say it, people. People. People don't go around praising God. Says here, no, I got lost. So after he got through in the talking to all the people, then certain of the philosophers of the Epicureans. Now look that up. I know you knew I would. And it says they had the doctrine of Epicurus. Wow. That told me a lot. And then it talked about the Stoics. I looked that up, and they're Stoics. Some of y'all might know more about Stoics than I do, but I just think they're Stoics. Anyways, they weren't Jesus fans. They weren't saved individuals. They were not Christians at all. They just wanted to hear what this babbler had to say so in their mind they could figure out how we could shoot him down. Well, there's one thing about it. Our minds can't shoot God down. Our gods ain't more powerful than God. It says here, it says... And then he says, and certain of them, and what strange things you've come to our ears, we would know thereof of these things. You know, it was strange how a man could be born as a little child from a virgin birth, his daddy being the Holy Spirit of God hovering over him, to be protected by his stepfather until he was old enough to do his ministry, or until his stepfather passed on, whichever, I don't know. But it says that Jesus was born from a virgin. He was born an innocent child. He grew up. And as he grew up, he grew in grace and knowledge. No time did Jesus ever commit a sin. No time did Jesus ever violate God's law. No time did Jesus ever get sideways with the Father. And then he started his ministry when he was grown. And for 3.5 years, he obeyed everything the Father had commanded him to do. From living a perfect, sinless life, to preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to being baptized in the river of John to be obedient, to having the Holy Spirit of God flutter down on top of him, to when John looked out the window and says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, if I was sitting here right now preaching, and I happened to see the door open, and see the Lamb of God walking down the thing, and I said to you, behold, Jesus, the Lamb of God. Where are you going to be at? Can you answer that? Are you going to stay here to hear the conclusion? Or are you out the door? They was two men that understood Jesus, the Lamb of God. And they left John sitting on the porch. They just dropped him like a rock. And they went down the road to where Jesus was, and they said, "Hey, Jesus, where are you living at?" And he says, "I'll show you." And the next day, they called some guys. "Let me show you Jesus." And they went, and they saw Jesus. And I want you to understand, Jesus, the Son of God, came and died. He died a terrible death for the sins of all who would believe. Anyone who would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He saves. He doesn't put them on a list. The moment you put your trust in the fact that Jesus lived for you, the fact that Jesus died for you, the fact that Jesus rose for you, the fact that Jesus is sitting in the heavens and is going to come back to get you. If that ever becomes real to you and you believe that, you are saved. Believe it and trust it and stay with it. It says here, they preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Then Paul stood on Mars Hill, and the men of Athens said, "I perceive that of all things ye are too superstitious." Now, if these guys on Mars Hill were too superstitious, what's the guys at Dennis Brown's? Come on. I see little statues in front of all kinds of houses. I see big statues in front of some people's houses. They got big statues. Guess what? That big statue can't no more save them than a man in the moon. But Jesus can. Jesus will. But it says here, they were so superstitious that they had a God for the sun. And when the sun didn't shine, they prayed to that one. They had a God for the moon. And when the moon wasn't right, they prayed to that one. They had a God for the rain. What does Paul tell them about? Let's move on. It says here, it says, "For I passed by, and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Now to them he was unknown. Paul knew who he was. Paul said, "I'm going to tell you about this God right here. This God that you don't know how to worship. This God that you ain't got a clue about. This God who, let me tell you what this God does. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, Him declare unto you." I'm going to declare to God to you that you just foolishly, ignorantly worship, don't have a clue what you're doing. He says, "God that made the world." That's a big step off right there. We're talking about, this ain't some little God just in control of some rain or sun or stars. This God made the world. The whole world. And everything in the world. And He holds it in His hand. It's His to do with as He pleases. It says here, "The world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord..." Not wants to be. He is Lord in heaven and earth. "Dwelleth not in temples made by hands." In other words, even when Solomon made the big temple and he said his magnificent prayer out there, he says, "I know that I've built this big old house for you, but you can't get in it. You can't live in it. It's not near big as you are, God." And yet, that very day, God filled that temple so nobody could get in it. He said, "No, I won't live in it, but I'll sure fill her up." It says here, he can't live in temples made by hand. These little things on the side of the road, looks like a little pup tent or whatever, got a little old statue in there. God don't live there. That ain't God. That ain't even close. That's an image of a man like you and me, or a woman like you and me. God ain't like us. He's big. He's great. He's awesome. In fact, He's the only thing that ever is awesome. Me and you, we can figure out. Nate and others going to figure out God. He is totally awesome. It says here, "Neither is worship with man's hands." In other words, I can make all the wood statues and all the wood rocks and all the wood figurines and all the brick ones and all the clay ones and as many as I want to, and I have not pleased God one iota. I can make all the junk trinkets I want to, and I cannot please God. It says here, whoever pleases God must come to God, believing that He is God and is to be worshipped as God. It says that if a man wants to believe in God, he must come to Him knowing that He is. Not hoping He is, but knowing that He is. It says here, neither is worship with men's hands, as though He needed anything. Really. There's not a thing. God doesn't need me to do this. He doesn't need you to do what you're doing. But He lets us glorify Him in the things that we do. But as far as our salvation, we could not pay God a single cent. We could sweat to death and couldn't save ourselves. God does not need anything from us. And just like some people, well, God was lonely, so He made man. No, He wasn't. God didn't need us before, and He doesn't need us now, but He lets us. It says here, as though He needed anything. He even rubbed it in twice. He don't need anything, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life. In other words, if you're alive right now, God did it. It says here, not only did He give you life, but He gave you breath. So if you're alive right now and you're breathing, God gave you that. Now just think, if He takes the breathing part away, don't go so good. I mean, you can't go without breathing but just a few minutes, and all of a sudden you turn purple and blue, and then they lay you on a slab and you turn cold. Because breathing is an essential thing. It says here, He gives them breathing, and He also gives us all things. Everything that I need to worship God with, I have. Everything that I need, as far as life goes, I have. Now, I got a whole lot of wonders, but the fact is, God has given me everything I need. Yeah. It says in one place, if you've got clothes on your back, food in your belly, and a roof over your head, that's what else you need. I mean, really, what else do you need? Those people that live under the interstate, that everybody sort of looks at, what do they really need? They got a big old concrete bunker over their head. Usually they got a little food in their belly. Got a place to lay up. Their needs have been met. If you want to really face it down, they've got the basic thing God says a man needs. A roof, clothes, a little food. So they're not getting like us, getting overweight and fat and sassy and unthankful and unappreciative because we're way more than we need. Those people, in fact, there's a proverb in Proverbs that says, don't give me so much that I forget who you are, and don't give me so little that I'll turn around and cuss you. That was a pretty wise dude. It says here, and He gives us all things. And if made of one blood, you thought about that? Adam and Eve, one blood. Every man, woman, and child after Adam and Eve came from Adam and Eve. In fact, the Bible says she's the mother of all living. So all living means everything that was born as human-like, not monkey-like. He didn't make monkeys into humans or humans into monkeys. They was monkeys were made and humans were made. All men came from Adam and Eve. And all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. In other words, not only did He make all men, but He figured out which group would be born in China. And He figured out which group would be born in Japan. And He figured out which group would be Seminole Indians. And He figured out which group would be Athenians. And He figured out when their countries would rise and be in power, and when they would also be destroyed and some other country would take over. It says here, that He of one man to dwell on the face of the earth and hath determined the times before appointed and the bound of their habitation. In other words, every group of people, if you read Daniel where it talks about the silver and the gold and all those things, God already appointed that the head of gold would be when it was, the head of silver would be when it was, the legs of brass when they would be, and then the legs of the Romans. He already knew from eternity past just when these bounds of people would take place and just what they'd be doing. Man, if God has already figured out all that stuff that happened way back yonder, 5,000, 6,000 years ago, you don't think He knows how to save somebody? You don't think he knows how to put us in the right place, doing the right thing? So it says here, and their habitations. So I tell the boys at the thing, I have black ones and red ones and green ones and yellow ones, they all colors. I say, God knew exactly what neighborhood you was coming from. God put you in your neighborhood. God gave you the skin color you got. God made you just with the eyes you got and the hair you got and everything you got. But he gave it all to you to worship him the very, very best you know how with what he has given you. My job ain't to worry about the guy that lives at the White House. My job is to worry about what I do with what God gave me. And if you live on the other side of the track, your job is to figure out what to do with what God gave you. God has set up every man's bound, every man's habitation, every man's place. And he didn't set it up so we could look down at them. Because if you read James, we ain't supposed to be looking down at nobody. We need to be paying attention to our own selves. If I got to look in the mirror and say, oh boy. Because when I look at you and say, I don't like the way he does that. But I'm looking at somebody that God has made, that God has put in that place. And instead of being mad at that guy, I'm saying, God, I don't like what you did. That don't make no good sense, do it? I'm sitting there arguing with God. You know, God, they're over here preaching such and such. And as long as they're not doing heresy, Jesus said, if they're not be against us, they're for us. I mean, it's just wrote in there somewhere. I could find it. It says here, that they should seek. I ain't going to have time to get to the good part. That they should seek. That they should seek. Y'all got that yet? What are you supposed to do? Seek. So if you're not living for God, what are you not doing? You're not seeking. So it says here, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from them. In other words, anybody who starts seeking is a candidate. Anybody that starts looking for Jesus is a candidate. Anybody whose heart is stirred to move closer to God is a candidate. Man, we could find some people who are seeking after God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. Man, Jesus said, seek me, follow me, come after me. It says here, for in Him, who is that? Jesus Christ, we live. If you're outside of Christ, you're still dead. There ain't no hard thing to get a hold of. And you realize in Ephesians chapter 2, He didn't write Ephesians chapter 2 to the lost folks. He wrote Ephesians chapter 2 to the saved folks so they would know what happened to them. So me telling a dead man he's dead don't do him no good. He don't understand being dead. But if I preach Jesus that he might be brought alive, then I can tell him how dead he was. First of all, I got to tell him he's a sinner. Because first of all, they got to repent. To repent means I turn from going this way, if that's the way I was going, and I go this way. Or if I was going this way, I turn from going this way and going that way. So if I'm walking along the road, minding my own business, doing my own sinful, wicked things that sinful, wicked men do, not because I'm a bad guy, but just because I'm a sinner, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God dawns on me that if I continue walking this way, I'm going to hell. If I continue walking this way, I will die in my sins. If I continue following my own lust, my own pride, my own wishes, my own desires, I'm a lost person without hope. At that point, if the Holy Spirit of God deals with me in such a manner, I will turn and I'll start going this way towards God. Seeking God, following God, trying to find Him, search Him out, trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's repentance. Turning from your way to His way. It says here, not works, but repentance. It's an act of the heart. It's not an act of the feet. Feet look good, but they don't do it. It says here, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, and I may mess some of y'all up, we ought not to think of the Godhead as being silver or gold or anything like that, because God ain't silver and gold and stuff like that, stuff made by Him. God is God. He's awesome. He's the Creator. He's the one who makes everything. We can't cover Him with some minerals and say that looks like God. I mean, He made the minerals, the elements, whatever you want to call them things. It says here, and the times of this ignorance. In other words, there was a time when people had all those gods and things hanging around. He sort of winked at them. But when the gospel came, when Jesus Christ came, when His holy Son came for men, He quit winking at man's ignorance. He quit winking at men, because now God Himself in the flesh had came down to this earth, showed Himself unto man, and says, there He is. There He is. And we're going to find something in a minute. Because He hath appointed a day into which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance to all men, in that He hath raised him from the dead. There is something inside of every man. If you read Romans chapter 1, inside of every man, lost or otherwise, that says there is a God. You may push it down, you may suppress it, you may try to fight it, but every single man was given a thing inside of him, I don't know how God does it, He's God, that says there is a God. And it says here that He has appointed a day. Now I know you folks know that there's going to be a great white throne judgment. There's going to be a great tribulation. There's going to be a day when the Son of God sits on the great white throne of God, and everybody who has rejected Him, everybody whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, will be cast into the lake of fire. Everybody who is not a believer in Jesus Christ will be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever and ever. And the man in hell says, just dip your finger in some water in the tube of my tongue, and there ain't no water there, and there ain't no ice there, and there ain't nothing cool there, and there ain't going to be no rest there. And if I love You, I'll tell You that. It says there's going to be a judgment coming, and it's coming by Jesus Christ, the one whom the world rejected. It says here, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. How can a dead man save anybody? How can a man rise? In Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about how can they rise? How can they have these bodies? How can they do this? How can they do that? And Paul says, that's how God does it. When Jesus Christ died, He had a promise from the Father that He would never see corruption, that He would be raised from the grave. Jesus says, I laid down My life, I will also take it up again. He's God. If God, who can make all of us out of dust or dirt, turns us all back into dust and dirt, don't you think He could say, there's a Charlie, there's a Joey, there's a Lucian, there's a Keith, and just that easy it's done? And we're sitting here, I'm kind of scared of being this here in the grave thing, because how's He going to get me back up? Come out from among the dead, Lazarus! And He walked out. Well, He hopped out, but He was still wrapped up. And said, cut Him loose! Get that old nasty clothes off of Him! He's alive! One day they're going to cut me loose. They're going to take this nasty clothes off of me, and I'm going to be more alive than I've ever been. I'm more alive now than I ever was, but the thing is, I ain't seen the real thing yet. One day I'm going to strip off this dead, sinful body. One day I'm going to strip off this thing, and I'm going to be like, whoo, something new. It says these folks mocked at that. These folks laughed at that. And it says some mocked, and some said, we'll hear you again. Man, those people you need to watch. You need to be watching them, because they're going to come up to you and say, tell me some more. Send me some more. Now, some will believe. Some may not. And they may come back again. As long as they're coming back, you keep telling them. And then it says, there were some that came back. And we'll hear you on another. And then Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain of men clave unto him. Certain men and a couple of women, I don't know how many, could have been 30, could have been 100. I don't know. It don't say. But it does say a man's name. It does say a woman's name. It does say some other of them. I don't know how many there was. But these two sort of stuck out to Paul. Because they clave to him. They hugged him. They got around him and said, tell me some more about Jesus. Tell me some more about the resurrection. Tell me some more about this Savior that I just believed in. Because it says they believed. These folks are saved. These folks are born again from God the Father. And when you get born again, you want to know more and more. Now here's the rest of the story. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I don't know about all this other stuff. And I didn't see Paul bring all this other stuff up right there. I saw Paul go to the synagogue and preach Jesus. I saw Paul go to the fancy folks down the road and preach Jesus. I saw Paul go to the grocery store and preach Jesus. You know what I think we ought to be doing? Preaching Jesus. And that shows. Brother Lucian, pray for us, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word and your word for the truth in all of these. We know that sinners, they don't understand a lot of doctrine, but Father, when a sinner's under conviction, he needs to hear about Christ being the Savior. I didn't know much, Father, but I knew that the Lord saved sinners, and that's who I trusted in. Looking back on it, you gave me all that faith and all that. I understand that now. But Father, at that time, I just needed a Savior.
Yes.
I just needed relief from the sin I was bound under, and that was heavy on my soul, Father. And you had someone appreciate it. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the gospel. Jesus, pray that we would preach the gospel to them and seek out the lost, Father.
Yeah.
And we just again thank you for the message. We pray that you go with us as we leave here. Bring us back to the next point of time. Watch over our pastor as he travels back, Father. All these things we pray in Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. He is dismissed.
Don't throw tomatoes or rocks.
Good message.